let's get to the analysis. And joining us on the telephone now is Elizabeth Holtzman. Elizabeth Holtzman is a former congressional member from New York. She served on the House Judiciary Committee that investigated the Watergate scandal and prepared articles of impeachment that would really bring the resignation of President Richard Nixon. Her latest book is called The Case for Impeaching Trump. Elizabeth Holtzman, I thank you greatly for your time.
No, thank you for having me.
Good to have you. So I guess you never got to this point back in 1974, an actual Senate trial, because Richard Nixon had resigned beforehand. You know, a few months ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I spent time with Betty Coed, who is the official Senate historian. And she told me, even though that there wasn't an actual trial for Richard Nixon in 1974, that the Senate, and especially her office, had done an incredible amount of work in preparing for a potential trial, because they didn't realize Nixon was going to resign. They thought there was going to be a trial, and that, in fact, a lot of their work actually paid off some 25 years later when they finally had a trial for Bill Clinton.
Well, I'm not aware of those preparations by the Senate. All I can say is that there are some things that are really relevant to this proceeding from the Nixon proceeding, even though we did not go to a Senate trial because Nixon resigned. One of the critical arguments that the Republicans are making at this point is that about witnesses, about documents, is, oh, this should have been done by the House of Representatives. This should have been done earlier. We shouldn't be considering this new, trying to get new information or consider it. Well, if you go back to what happened during Nixon, while the House Judiciary Committee voted on a bipartisan basis with seven Republicans supporting his impeachment on three grounds, the fact of the matter is that the smoking gun tape, which convinced the whole country, every Republican, that Nixon was guilty, showed him orchestrating the cover-up, that tape did not come out during the House Judiciary Committee proceedings. It came out afterwards. And I've made this point many times. To say that we can't consider after-acquired evidence, that we should be blinding ourselves to additional facts, is a joke in the light of that. That's to say that, oh, the smoking gun tape, House Judiciary Committee, you didn't get it? Then we shouldn't think about it. No one ever said that. And this argument is absurd. The other argument that's coming out now that's completely a lie is the argument that the president has to commit a crime, that alleging an abuse of power is an insufficient basis for impeachment of the president. Go back to read the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon. None of those articles claim that he committed a crime. In fact, the whole second article of impeachment involves explicitly the ground of abuse of power. And everybody, every historian, every academic, just about the world recognizes that the House Judiciary Committee's proceedings against Nixon were the gold standard. So how can they say this, that you can't have impeachment for abuse of power?
My understanding,
say that with a straight face.
My understanding, that's why they brought on Alan Dershowitz, who will make maybe arguments on, I don't know, about Saturday, maybe Monday or Tuesday, that very point that you are saying, that there had to be some kind of criminal activity anyways, which is funny because it was the exact opposite thing that he said in 1999.
Well, I don't care what he said in 1991. The fact of the matter is, it is contrary not just to what scholars say. It's contrary to the precedent set in the impeachment activity of the House of Representatives. And Nixon resigned because of that. So what is he saying? It's just a lie. It's the big lie theory. If I say it often enough and I say it loudly enough, it doesn't matter. People will believe it. But I hope people understand that this is just nonsense.
I'd like to go back to your first point, because I think it's a very important one concerning the tapes, Richard Nixon's tapes, that the Supreme Court ordered to be handed over. you know, that basically was a slam, that was the most smoking gun that you're going to have. And my understanding, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what the Supreme Court said about being able to hear those tapes is this, that Congress, that the House of Representatives in particular, has this really enormous and awesome responsibility of having to decide whether or not to impeach a president of the United States, in other words, to try to remove a sitting president from the White House, from that position. And in order to be able to use that authority, this awesome responsibility that it has responsibly, it needs to be able to have the information to determine whether or not impeachment is appropriate. And if you are to keep that information getting to the House of Representatives, then in effect, what you are doing is you are taking away the ability to make an informed decision, a decision on something, again, that is an awesome kind of a responsibility, that of impeaching the president.
Right. Well, what you're saying is partially true, but the Supreme Court did not rule on a case that the Congress brought. The U.S. versus Nixon was a case brought by the special prosecutor.
Yeah, Jaworski.
The Supreme Court did not, initially, I think it was brought by Archibald Cox, but the Supreme Court did not rule about Congress's right to documents in an impeachment inquiry. They ruled about the right of a prosecutor in a criminal case to get evidence against from the president. And if you stop and think about it, if we're talking, of course, a criminal case against one person is extremely important. What we're talking about in impeachment is a case to protect the democracy of the United States of America, which is of huge importance. So I think that your argument that Congress needs the information to proceed in impeachment inquiry is correct, but that wasn't the ruling. In the Nixon case, the court said that those documents had to be turned over to the special prosecutor, and then we got them. They became public. But the thing is that, and that's also something that the Republicans try to obfuscate and deny. House Judiciary Committee made the same point that the House managers are making now, which is not that the courts should have no role, but that if we had to rely on the judicial process to get the evidence, the president could stymie every impeachment inquiry. And that is just intolerable. So the House Judiciary Committee never went to court for a single document from the White House, ever. And nobody criticized it for that. And they shouldn't be, the House managers shouldn't be criticized either, because the critical thing here is if we go back to the framers, what they were trying to do in the impeachment power was to protect the democracy of the United States. And they had, because he was the point, the question was, and there's an explicit debate about this. People said, someone said, well, we should, one of the delegates to the Philadelphia Convention said, well, we really need to have impeachment power. And people got up and said, what are you talking about? We don't need impeachment. We've got an election every 4 years. That should be enough. And they came back and said, we need impeachment because a president could be so dangerous in the 4 years between elections that our democracy could be at risk. That's really what impeachment is about. The risk of the threat to our democracy. And when a president puts himself above the law, when he says, I don't have to, no one has a right to investigate me, not the court, the Congress, I'm above the law. He doesn't say I'm above the law, but that's in essence it. Then you can never exercise the impeachment power. It becomes a nullity. And then our democracy is really at risk. So I think that Adam Schiff made really an extraordinary argument this morning, or I should say early this afternoon, when he really focused on what this means to our democracy to have a president abuse the power of his office, call for foreign interference, try to undermine an election, and then turn around and say, no, Congress, despite the impeachment clause in the Constitution, you can't find out anything about my conduct. You can't hold me up. And it's thumbing his nose at the impeachment clause, but worse, thumbing his nose at what impeachment is designed to do, which is to protect our democracy from a president who abuses the power of his office.
Are you hopeful that the Senate will have witnesses and allow additional evidence to be used?
I'm thinking that the House is doing such a good job of showing that the president should be impeached just on the basis of the evidence they had. I don't know. It's kind of self-defeating. But I'm just making a small joke about it, but I think they've made really an excellent case without that additional evidence for Trump's impeachment. But I do think that it's going to be very hard for the Senate to avoid, Republicans to avoid calling for witnesses. And I think once you get a call for additional witnesses and documents, then you don't know what's going to happen, because one of them could be the smoking gun.
Elizabeth Holtzman is a former congressional member from New York. She served in the House Judiciary Committee that investigated the Watergate scandal, helped prepare articles of impeachment that would lead to at least the resignation of President Richard Nixon. She is the author of the book, The Case for Impeaching Trump. Elizabeth Holtzman, I thank you.
Thank you.